Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
Welcome to Weekly Jump, presented as part of the Geekly Grind Podcast Network.
This is our weekly episode reviewing first impressions of newer anime and manga titles.
Let's jump in. Hey, welcome to Weekly Jump, where Spencer only watches and reads good things this week. Hey, everybody.
All right, well, good for you.
We're starting out with something ridiculous, it's my first time being able to give away something on the episode where it directly is the thing from the episode.
Ooh.
So this one is a big giveaway because we were sent all three together, and I think all three of them need to stay together because it's awesome. And so for this one, this is going to be going on for the next four episodes. We're going to be doing this as part of a giveaway. So if you want to be a part of this one, it is the first three volumes of the Transformers manga. It is the manga from 1985. It is awesome. It is hardback. I'm really excited about this one. So if you want to be a part of this giveaway, you need to send us via whatever channel you want to send us. More than meets the eye is the key phrase.
That makes sense. That's cool. Yeah. Transformers has had quite a few comics and manga adaptations through the years, but this is one of the original ones, I think. And,
oh yeah,
it's one of the big ones too.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. So what I read for this one is I read the entire first volume for it. So this is my page flips for the week. It was the first volume of the Transformers manga from 1985. It is, number one, ridiculous. Number two, it is exactly Transformers. So, like, if you watch the old television show, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. And also, it might be possible that I could not read anything inside of this manga without hearing like Megatron's voice from the original cartoon, and hear Optimus Prime's voice, and also hear Starscream's voice. It's great. oh man, it's just a ridiculous manga. I think one of the things that I took away from it, though, is that I had legitimately forgotten how a lot of these old franchises were created to exclusively sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of different Transformers that are introduced is great. They live on a planet. This whole planet that's by themselves, right? And Cybertron is the name of the planet, by the way. And on this planet, they talk about how they don't have to get around in cars because they can become cars. And I was just like, oh man, why would they even know what cars are? They're big giant robots who can literally fly with jetpacks all the time. What do they need this for?
Yeah, they don't think they need to get around in cars because they've always been able to become them. So why would they think that?
Yeah. Anyways, I will say this one is a super fun one. It is also really exciting because I'm able to give away the first three volumes of it. So it's a ton of coverage for it. It is beautiful. Number one, because it is in hardback. Number two, because it is in color, so you can see this like beautiful colored scapes. The pages are kind of like that glossy comic book page. So it's a really fun time. I think this one is definitely one, if you like old manga, you should definitely pick this one up, especially if you have like a soft spot for the Transformers old show. I will say one of the big differences between the two is that it is more violent and less censored, so just be aware of that. But especially, like, you know, if you're reading this with young children, it is a little bit more brutal than you're expecting.
Though they're robots, it feels like intense. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and also the story gets really like heated. Okay. It is about a civil war on a planet that destroys the planet. It is very It's very intense. But anyways, you should definitely write in to be a part of this. I don't want to give too much more away because you could be our winner and you could pay attention to it. Or, I mean, you could just look it up. But anyways, that's Transformers. And what did you read this week, Blake?
I read Fly Me to the Moon. And I specifically read Fly Me to the Moon Volume 2 because that's the one that was sent to me in the mail, which I have since sent to you in the mail. Fly Me to the Moon, from what I can tell, based on the entire second volume that I read cover to cover and the 0% of the series that I've consumed outside of Volume 2, I read a little bit on the Wikipedia page, and I have also seen Mother's Basement talk about this series on one of his videos. So I am vaguely familiar with the series outside of that. I was definitely thrown off by the fact that I was starting in the middle of Volume 2, and, you know, I felt like there were some key setup things that I had probably missed and that I would probably have really enjoyed to know about, but I did not have that Volume 1, so I did not read it. There's also a show, I read the manga, sorry, that's confusing. So the series is about a guy who gets saved from being killed in a car accident by a pretty lady. It kind of, the clips that I've seen on Mother's Basement kind of makes you think, if you know that very famous scene from Twilight, even if you've never seen Twilight, you might know this, where Edward, the vampire boy, jumps in front of a car to save Bella. It's kind of like that, except the girl is doing the saving this time and the boy is the damsel. So that is how these two characters meet. And then they get married, like, real quickly afterward. I think there's a time skip in the middle of the first chapter, or maybe between the first and second chapters. But essentially, they meet each other. He kind of falls for her immediately. She seems weird and also maybe super strong or fast or something because of the whole saving him from getting smooshed by a car. And they end up reconnecting sometime later, like a year or two later. And they get married to each other. They're super young. I think he's 18 and she's 16, which I think is a cultural difference. I think that is something that does happen in Japan. I don't know more about it, so I'm not going to comment on how icky it is. It definitely made me as an American feel a little icky when she was like, "I'm 16 and I'm married." But the thing about this is that it is designed to be a very cute slice of life romance story. Consequently, I did not enjoy it at all. I can enjoy those stories. I definitely watch some stuff like that in like Western television, but for anime, that is usually not the bag I want to be pulling from, and this was no exception. I found that there were parts that made me smile and parts that made me chuckle. So there's a lot of humor. There's some meta humor in this that was really fun. The artwork is pretty good, but there's a lot of things that just didn't vibe with me. One is the tone. I just don't like these types of stories. So I had a really hard time getting into it. Number two was there's a lot of stuff about Japanese people being in romantic relationships, particularly romantic relationships that do or may involve sex. And Japanese people, if I have learned anything from anime and manga and my many years of consuming it, Japanese people are really, really, really uncomfortable about sexuality unless they are the super perv archetype. Other than that archetype, they are just like, even suggesting that they could be sexually active seems to just get them all bent out of shape. I suspect this is not exactly true of actual Japanese people, but it sure is hell true of most anime characters where this becomes a relevant plot point, and it's definitely true here. This story, again, focuses on newlyweds, and like one scene revolves around them having a discussion in a park. And they like hold hands or something, and they talk about how uncomfortable it is to hold hands in public, but they're going to do it anyway because they really want to in this moment because they're having this major heart-to-heart breakthrough thing. And it's just really hard for me to get behind that kind of like hyper-repressed sexuality, especially between newlyweds. In my, you know, Western perspective, I'm like, if you're this uncomfortable around each other and you only just got married, your marriage is not going to work out. And I just don't think that's what the story is going for. I think it's just a cultural divide. So the cultural divide and the tone of just these types of stories did not connect for me. All of that said, if you are into the cute slice of life romance, I think you're going to love this, because it seems like a particularly good one. Like I said, I enjoyed plenty of parts of this. It just didn't snag me because of what it is. But if you really like that stuff, and if you really like that kind of like interpersonal tension of the will they or won't they, even though they're already married, then I think you're going to really love this. So if you're that type of person, you should snap this up. There's a show, I believe it's available on one of the streamers. I think it's on Crunchyroll, and I think it might be on an American streamer too. So if you're not sure if you want to buy it, maybe watch the first episode, see if it grabs you, and then check out the manga version after that.
Okay, that takes us to our tag team, and this tag team is ridiculous. It's called Wonder Egg Priority, and
what the fuck happened?
What were you expecting inside of this? Because I was coming into it immediately from watching my mother's basement's review of like the new anime to watch inside of winter. And he was just like, this one is crazy and amazing. I will say it is crazy. It is also very confusing, and I am very intrigued to the point where I will probably keep watching this, because it is not normally something that I would want to pick up as an anime that I watch, but this one is so intriguing and has such a weird premise that it's like, I think I'm on board. So our main character gets an egg from a machine inside of like an arcade.
From a talking egg, lightning bug.
Yeah. And so when she holds this egg, it transports her to basically like a weird dreamscape world.
Yeah.
The first one is cute. The second one is super dark.
Yeah. Yeah, so she goes into this dream world, and the egg is supposed to give you the thing that you want, and she's like very clearly depressed and very clearly going through things and kind of like isolated, partly because she's isolating herself and partly because the kids at school are mean to her, and so she's kind of one of those like friendless shut-in archetypes, and so she's just sort of like, I don't want anything. And he's like, no, you want friends. And so the egg is going to give her friends, and then she goes to the dream world, and then a person hatches out of the egg.
Yep.
After toilet paper screams at her to hatch it, and then little demons try to kill them.
Yep. It's just
wild. So I don't think I've seen that video of his yet. I'm a little behind because of the traveling that I did recently. So I don't think I have. I might have heard of this, but this was a total blank slate for me, and I did not know what to expect. And I was totally just swept along in the current of, okay, this is happening.
Yeah, it is definitely one that is, if you are not prepared for it, it is going to hit you in a very different way. I was only slightly prepared for it, and it still hit me in kind of a wild way. So just be prepared.
Yeah, I watched Madoka Magica some time ago, and that show's tone reminded me of this show. I meant to look up beforehand whether or not they were made by the same people. It's a little late now. I'm not gonna sit here while I find it. But the Madoka Magica is a play on magical girl anime like Sailor Moon or Cardcaptor Sakura or something. But it's very dark. You can tell from the beginning that some dark shit is gonna maybe go down. Some characters get killed pretty unambiguously early on in the series. And so there's this weird tension between the kind of like magical adventure and childlike wonder that often is a mainstay of the magical girl genre, and the sort of like dark foreboding terror that follows, that is sort of lurking underneath the surface. Similar, actually, to Maiden Abyss also. It's very cute, but there's also some really messed up stuff happening. This has a really similar vibe to that. So you're like, there are interesting characters. There are bright visuals. A pretty snappy pace. But it feels like the stakes are really high and that there might be some really dark or some really gruesome shit. It also made me think of Fleabag in a way that I'm not going to go into, so as not to spoil anything for either this or Fleabag. But there's a lot of darkness here. It's really obtuse. It's intentionally obtuse. It is, you're living in dream worlds, and they are not, they're not necessarily the main character's dream worlds either. So the thing about stories set in dream worlds is that they break rules, and you don't always know the rules that exist before they're broken, and you don't always know the reason why they're being broken. And it's just like they're weird, and they're intentionally weird, and I can find that pretty off-putting. But I think the underpinning story of this is intriguing enough that it balanced out the sort of the story trying to like slow roll a reveal to you in a way that I would have otherwise found frustrating.
Yeah. So it looks like Madoka Magica is done by Aniplex, by the way.
Okay.
This is done by Cloverworks. Cloverworks also did Darling in the Franxx, The Promised Neverland season 1 and season 2. So I mean, you know, if you like those show, you're going to like this animation
style. But Aniplex for sure also co-produced this, so there's that that influence right there. So yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same zone as you, where it was weird, it was a little tense, and it's really harsh. There's also this show needs to come with a content warning. This has a lot of suicide discussion in it, and you should be really wary of that going in if that is something that might set you off. So be wary of
trigger
that.
Trigger warning, so be aware.
Otherwise, I think it's intriguing. I think it's worth checking out to see if you will be similarly intrigued. I think it could be a really satisfying, albeit very emotional journey. Or it could be a total dud. And there's only 2 episodes out now, so I can't tell you which it is.
Yeah, that takes me into my watch of the week, which was Kimono Jihen. This show is something else. Not only does it deal with children that are just awful to each other, to the point where I was just like reminded of the bullies from my childhood. There is a young boy. He is adopted by a family. And we see at the very beginning of the show, there's a group of kids that are talking about this kid that was adopted by their family and how there's somebody from Tokyo that's coming to stay in their house for some reason. They don't know why. They just know that he's coming. And they're like, well, he's going to hang out with me and he's probably going to take me to Tokyo. And that's probably why he's coming, is to take me some special school in Tokyo or something like that. And they're just like, yeah, you're probably right. And they're like, well, he's definitely not going to be coming for this kid that lives with me. He's the worst. Let's make sure that, you know, we take care of him, blah, blah, blah. The first time we see this kid, he has red eyes, and he is working in the field without a shirt on. He looks like he is very dirty and almost emaciated. And you feel kind of sorry for him immediately. Then you are introduced to the character that's coming in from Tokyo. He's dressed in a really cool, it's like tan yellow suit. So he sort of stands out in this country town. He is picked up by the woman that is the mother of the bully child and also the child that is adopted. She looks very stressed out because something has happened. There have been animals that have been killed on her property. She needs somebody to take care of this. So there's this like slice of life, fun moments of like, is this person coming to take care of this, see what's going on? And then we notice 2 things One, this adopted child is wearing a little pendant around his neck. It kind of looks like a wooden or bone comb with like a little like hook at the very end of it. And so he talks about how like to be left with this, you must have been important to somebody. So you're probably not being forgotten. He seems to be connecting with this young boy, right?
Okay.
Then he finds out that he is going to be taken back to Tokyo with this man. So it seems like maybe they can't take care of this kid. So they're going to be sending him back home. So the bully kid is awful. He like pushes him down. He's yelling at him. He tears off his necklace and he throws it on the ground. And he's just like, "You're not worth anything. You're adopted. We just should have let you die inside of the ditch." And in response to this, he's like, "Give me my pendant back." And he's like, "No." And he kicks it away. And so the young boy, his arm turns into a giant demon arm and slams the boy into the ground, and his face starts to turn into like a monster face. And then the man comes up and he straps the pendant back on, and the kid like falls unconscious, and the other boy runs off. And then he's just like, what is happening? And you find out that like the person from Tokyo is a demon hunter who has come into this place to find a demon deer that is traveling with demon dogs that are killing livestock. And this boy is somewhat of a demon, and this thing that has been left with him is a pendant that keeps him human so that he can keep his humanity as long as he's wearing it. There is also a crazy fight scene where it shows off that this guy has somewhat of powers, but they don't point it out. You just have to watch the moments where it disappears and reappears. So he pulls out a gun and he like shoots the gun a couple times, and then while he's reloading, he pulls his hand back, and instead of it showing the gun and his finger on the trigger, instead it just looks like him making the like the symbol for a gun if you were like to do it guns with your fingers. Yeah, and he does like a reload thing behind his head, and then when he pulls it back out, it's a gun again. And so you're just like, oh my god, he has magic powers. And then the young boy, instead of like laying back not to fight, he jumps up and he rips off the demon like deer's head, and then he's just like, "That was helpful, right?" And he's just like, "Yeah, let's go." And that's the end of the first episode. It is crazy. It is a wild ride. It is very well animated. I'm very surprised that not more people are talking about this show, because it really reminds me of like people that were like freaking out over Demon Slayer would probably really freak out about this show. It's really cool, at least from the first episode of it. I would say that get onto this one. It is just starting, so you can get on the ground floor. It's going to probably develop a big fan base as long as it continues to go in the trajectory that it seems like it's going. Okay. Like a really dark magic demon fighting adventure, which is really up my alley, especially if it has good animation, which it definitely does. The only thing that it does that is a little bit worrisome to me is that it does do backgrounds in CG sometimes. I think that is a cost-cutting measure that is just going to become a staple inside of the anime universe a lot of times now.
Yeah.
The nice thing about it is that the characters are not done with CG at all. They are done in really stunning animation, and the demons that are out are really freaky. The demon is like its teeth are bent out from its mouth and like wrapping back up into its face, almost reminding you of like the big boar demon or the boar god from Princess Mononoke. It has a really reminiscent style of the way that it's doing these like spiritual monsters, as well as the main character when he starts turning into a demon. It is really unnerving and weird, and the horror aspects to it is like you really have to stand back from it for a little bit, but it's definitely one to get in on if you like that kind of anime.
Okay, it sounds like it's going to share a lot of DNA with Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, really, it's part of that wave, I think.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm very interested in that. My anime for the week is real different. It is a skateboarding anime called Skate the Infinity, and that is specifically spelled SK8 the Infinity. It is also very new, also only two episodes available so far. It is pretty simple. There's an underground world of, you know, hyper enthusiastic skaters, and a new kid moves to town who happens to fall in with one of these hyper enthusiastic skaters, through circumstance finds himself in a high stakes competition of skating, but he has never skated before, and also specifically fell off of the board earlier when the friend was like, you should try skateboarding. And then it turns out that he duct tapes his feet to the board because he is actually like a master snowboarder. And so he's able to do the competition that way. And then he's got to teach himself how to actually skateboard and not have to tape his feet every time from now on. And they're going to be friends and do, you know, skatey competition and stuff like that. I've never skateboarded. I also fell off of a skateboard when I tried it, and I did not intend to get back up because I wasn't that interested in the first place. I had some friends that skateboarded in high school. That's about as close as my own personal attachment goes, other than, you know, it showing up a lot in like Fail Army videos. So I didn't have a personal connection here, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I think if you have ever skated, you're going to really, really fucking dig it, because it seems like a relatively grounded take on skating. They're not, you know, I mean, it's dramatized and it's heightened because it's anime, but like they're not like using superpowers or anything like that. So it seems like a pretty fun competition anime if you're just in the market for that, or if you personally have skated before. Animation's pretty good. Direction was pretty good. I just really thought it was pretty charming. The characters were really nice, and I really felt like they felt like real people, especially the new kid character. He just felt like a real person who had really realistic reactions to things for the most part. Obviously there was some comedy, and like him duct taping his feet to the board is a little out there, but like overall I was like, I can see this as like a real person that is already growing only two episodes in. So I think that this is a good show. I don't know how fast I'm going to be chomping at the bit to return to it, just because it's about skateboarding and I don't care about skateboarding very much. And there's so many other good anime that I haven't started that I'm looking forward to, that this is just by default getting pushed far down the list. But I actually think it's really good. And I think that if you enjoy those kind of like competition anime, or if you have skated before in a way that this, you know, might feel personal to you, that you should check this out sooner rather than later.
Great. And that's our coverage for the week. So stick with us after these credits and we'll give you a important life lesson.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind podcast network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, anime fans. My name is Jeremy, and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind, a site dedicated to all things geeky. From video games to anime, D&D, board games, comics, and more, since 2015, we've worked to provide fresh geek content and reviews every week. big part of our content expansion has been the creation of our very own podcast network, of which this very show is a part of. And if you're listening to this, chances are you need no introduction to Blake and Spencer, who offer 2 week shows every week covering anime and manga series, both new and old. However, if you're looking for more podcasts to fill your commute, or maybe your new working from home arrangement, we've got a few other shows to spotlight that would be a great addition to any Geeks Media menu. First, there's Comic Book Keepers, where you can join Lance and Chris as they discuss comic books, heroes, and their impact on our lives. If comics aren't really your thing, maybe you're looking to find something exciting out in the geekosphere, do a little exploring maybe, you can check out John and Ben's Geeksploration podcast. They cover a variety of topics from video games to the latest Disney announcements, game shows, and more. A real grab bag of geekdom and a fantastic addition to your weekly listening. Maybe you're a Dungeons & Dragons fan. Well, I would invite you to join the Knights of the Rolled Table, a comedic and family-friendly audio drama featuring a cast of improv actors bringing their unique flair to D&D. Whatever your geeky interests, chances are we've got a podcast for you, and we're excited to offer convention access, giveaway content, and more as part of our continued partnership with Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. See you next time.
We'll see you next week, and until then,
buy more toys. Buy more toys. If you are watching or reading manga or watching anime, you need to buy more toys over here at Buy More Toys Central. Anyways, that's what everything is about inside of the world of 1980s. Anyways, let me just do some more cocaine.